Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. What a privilege to be in the house of God tonight. Appreciate what the Lord did around this place this morning. The services in days gone by. Appreciate the labor of the church and the pastor, others that make this meeting possible. Appreciate that. It's a fearful place to stand here. But I appreciate the privilege. It's my honor. I trust the Lord to help us tonight. Desire your prayers that He'll touch us. I know that without Him, I can't do anything. I need His help tonight. Judges chapter 6 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up. And the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians, now the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. There came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight.
And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizrites. You can be seated. Thank you for standing tonight. We read these verses in Judges chapter number 6. And I thought as the week went on that a few bits and pieces of what's on my heart tonight's already been preached this week. But I feel that it is in my heart to preach this that the Lord's put on me for tonight. And I thought about how we ought to be able, as the people of God in the air and the day that you and I are living in, we ought to be able to identify with the circumstances and the situation of the days of the book of Judges, how that it's a dark book and a time of apostasy and idolatry and rebellion among the people of God. It's a day when it seems as though that it takes disaster and distress in the lives of the people of God to get them interested in turning to God again. And I look around in our day and it seems to be so in our air when everything's going well. They think they don't need God and we can operate fine without Him, but when disaster comes and distress sets in, it's at that time and that hour that we go running to God again and say, "Oh dear Lord, we need you in this hour." And so here they are, and they're trying their best to plant a harvest, and the harvest is being interrupted by things that are going on in the day, and that's about where we're at as well. Seems like we try our best as men of God to stand and preach the Bible and do right and sow the seed and give the water, as Paul said. But it seems like things are happening to disrupt the harvest that's going on in our day. And it's because of the evil that we have done. The blame doesn't lie at the political door, and the blame doesn't lie in the social area. But the blame lies in the fact that we that know God have done evil in the sight of God. And there's also an enemy out there. The Bible said when they planted, it got time for the crops to come in, that the Midianites and the Amalekites, all of those children of the east, came up against the people of God. And there's an enemy in our day. And we ought not to be ignorant of that. We ought not to fold our arms and say it just is so. We ought not to close our eyes and hope it's not. But Peter said to be sober and to be vigilant, for our adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Jesus himself talked about the parable of the sower, and he said the seed that fell by the wayside, the fowls of the air came and took it away. And he said it was the evil one, the enemy, Satan, the devil, that took away the word, lest they should believe and be saved. In the middle of all of that, when the majority of the people have come to the place that they're just satisfied that it is so, when the majority of the people of God have just come to grips and come to terms that there's nothing they can do about the situation, they might as well hide out in the mountains and in the dens and in the caves and let the enemy come and do what he will. There's no point in standing. There's no point in fighting. There's no point in trying to change it. In the midst of all of that, when the majority of those have went away, I find a little old man in the bottom of the valley with some wheat threshing it by the wine press, and it's not up on the mountaintop where the threshing floor would have been. He's not up there with the wind blowing in great victory, but he's down in the valley doing
doing the best he can with what he's got. It's not enough wheat to load the wagon, not enough wheat to harness the oxen and cause them to crush it out, but he's hiding from the Midianites and he's got his family in his mind, and he said, if nobody else is going to work and do what they can for nobody else, he says, I'll do what I can do with what I've got for my family.
Amen.
So he gathers up the wheat. I don't know how much it is. The Bible doesn't say how much it is, but I can just see maybe just enough to harness on his shoulders and carry it down to the valley and take that stick and beat it out. And he didn't have the wind to blow. He wasn't up there where it'd blow through his hair and blow through the chaff and blow it away and have such a great feeling on the mountaintop. But I'm going to tell you what, he's going to be down there in the valley, probably discouraged, probably disgusted about the situation and the days and the hours and what's going on, and wishing the wind would blow. But he's down in the valley and it just don't blow down there. But I'm going to tell you something bigger and better than the wind, something stronger than just a feeling, is fixing to come back where Gideon is and going to do him more good than the wind could ever do and a feeling could ever do. The Lord is going to pass by where he is. And the Bible said he came and he sat down under an oak which was in Ophrah. And so I want to preach tonight, if God will help me, for just a minute or two on when he sits down under your tree. When he sits down under your tree. Gideon's down there doing what he can. He may not have some big great number. He doesn't have 1,000 by his side. Seems as though Gideon's all alone, and he's the only one interested in what he's doing. Seems like nobody else cares about the shape of the people. Seems like nobody else cares about the shape of their family. I don't know where Gideon's at. I don't know how close he is to quitting. I think maybe a time or two, Brother Jones, he beats the wheat and walks away and says, what am I doing here? What's the use? Nobody else cares. Why should I care? And then about that time he walks back and beats it a couple more times and walks away and says, what's the use? What am I doing here? And about that time, a voice speaks from under the tree and says, thou mighty man of valor.
Amen.
Gideon says, you talking to me? You talking to me? Looks around. There ain't nobody around. You're talking to me. He said, the Lord's with thee. Gideon's down there in the valley and he's doing the best he can with what he's got.
Yeah.
There have been days in my life I've wished that it was bigger and better and brighter than what it is.
Yeah.
God help him. But the Lord touched my heart and he said, son, just do what you got. I can't preach like some of you men, though I want to, but I'm just trying to do tonight what I can with what I got. And I'm glad the Lord said, I'll be with thee. And Gideon had some questions. He's down there in the valley and he doesn't understand. But if the Lord ever comes by where you are, all them questions will go away. All them wonders and worries will go away. We all have questions. We all reason within ourselves about why it is the way it is. And Gideon had questions about the fight. He knew there's going to be a battle at hand. There had been battles before and it's going to be a fight again. And the Lord said, the Lord's with thee. And Gideon said, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why is it like it is around here? I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but there have been days I've said, Lord, if you're really with us, why is it like it is? You say, I wouldn't say that. I'm just being honest. Lord, if you really care about us, and we're trying to do what you want us to do, and God, if we're living right and serving right and doing our dead level best when nobody else cares and nobody else is interested, and we're trying to serve you and trying to do, Lord, why are you letting it be like it is around here? Why has all this befallen us? And then he said, why ain't it like it used to be?
Go ahead right there.
Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of? There's a fight at hand. And the enemy's not afraid of us like they used to be. What happened to the days when Joshua went into Jericho and the woman said, our hearts melt like wax within us when we hear about your God and his power and his ability to save, and we're afraid of you and your God. He said, where's them days, Lord? Oh, I've been guilty of saying, Lord, what about yesterday? What about yesteryear? I sat in a motel room some months ago with a dear man of God, and I watched him as he wept, and he said, I'm tired of saying yesteryear. The Lord showed up to Gideon. And it's not in so many words, but what the Lord was saying is, Gideon, it don't matter about yesterday. I'm still God today. I can do what I've always done. Have as much power today as I've ever had. Don't worry about Jericho. Don't worry about the Red Sea. Don't worry about the wilderness experience. Today's your day, Gideon, and I'm with you, and you're a mighty man of valor. He said, you'll save Israel. You'll fight the Midianites. And you'll defeat them like they're one man.
Amen.
And Gideon said, not only, why is it like this? Where's the days of old? But he said, how can I do anything to change what's going on? How can I? He said, my family's poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. He said, I don't have any money. I don't have a great reputation. He said, I don't have all the resources. He said, I'm all alone in this valley. There ain't no great army behind me. How can I do anything? In our day, are we not the same?
Amen.
Put the focus and the emphasis on what we have. As far as resources and money and experience and expertise and a number and all of that. And the Lord didn't mention any of that. He said, surely I will be with thee. He said, I'm God. And what do you need besides that? And so I say to you tonight, preachers and deacons and church members and ladies, what do we need that we don't have? If we're on God's side and he's on ours, we have all we need to do the work that is ahead of us. Some of you got questions about the fight. If you're going to be able to stand, if you're going to be able to fight ahead, if you're going to be able to pursue the enemy, if you're going to be able to make a difference. Some of you are wondering in your mind, you're down there in the valley and it seems like you're all alone and you've all but give up on God and you've all but give up on the church and give up on your friends and give up on your family and give up on the fight. Take the staff in your hand again. Beat the wheat again. Serve God again. Do what you got with what you got and serve God faithfully even in these days.
Amen.
Some of you got wonders about your family. Not just about the fight, but about your family. There's a man by the name of Abraham. God commanded him to leave his land of nativity behind and follow after him. He said, just go. It don't matter if you know where you're going. I'm leading you. Just follow me. And the Bible said Abraham went out not even knowing where he's going. He just followed God. Then God made a covenant with him. And he took him out under the night sky and he said, Abraham, can you look up into heaven? Abraham said, yes. Yeah. He said, you see the stars? He said, yeah. He said, count them, Abraham. He said, I can't. God said, I can. And he said, your seed will be like... Now, he ain't even got no children. And it's getting borderline at this point. And he said, your seed will be like the stars of the sky for multitude. He said, come on down here by the seashore, Abraham, and see if you can pick up some sand and count the grains that are by the sea. And Abraham said, I can't do it. And God said, I can. And your seed will be like not only the stars, but it'll be like the sand by the seashore, innumerable. Amen. Abraham believed God. That's what the Bible said. He believed God. But there come some days, it didn't happen just like that. That birth didn't happen just like that. And some of us, here we are, and we sit in this congregation, and we got family. And I'm talking about spiritual birth here. And we've prayed, and we've asked, and we've begged, and we've trusted, but it ain't happened like that. We thought surely God would, and God can, and He can. But why ain't He yet? And that's what Abraham got to wondering, not if He could, or if He would, but when He would. Some of them nights he probably rolled over to Sarah and said, you really think it's going to be like God said? She probably just poked him and said, just go out and count the stars. Abraham went out and said, I believe you, Lord. But it's getting pretty hard. You know, just a few days, it'd be okay if it had just happened. A few weeks, a few months would have been okay. But time went on and nothing took place. Doubt filled the heart of Abraham, just like it does mine and just like it does yours. But there came a day. Abraham stepped out of the tent and looked down toward the horizon, and here come some men walking down the road. And it's amazing to me, he didn't do it at the tent. But Abraham went running to meet them, and he said, come on over here under the tree a while. And they went over and they sat down under the tree. And the Lord said, where's your wife? And he said, she's in the tent. And he said, according to the time of life, he said, Sarah will have a child at this time next year. And Sarah laughed within herself because the Bible said it had ceased to be with her according to the manner of women. Mankind had looked at Abraham and Sarah's situation and said, it's impossible, it'll never happen. Abraham and Sarah might have even looked at their own situation, Sarah especially, and said, it'll never be. That's why she laughed within herself, and she said, can I bear a child when I'm old and my Lord's old? But God said, is anything too hard for God? And some of you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've prayed. And you're about this close to saying, I'm done. It's never going to happen. It's never going to come through. God just ain't going to do it. And now He's come by where you are, and you sit underneath your tree, and you're about to give up on God. And He says, just hang on. Don't give up. I'm still God. It's not too hard. I'm glad He can still save sinners. Even in this day, His power's still God. His arm's not shortened that He cannot save. He still can in this day. I got three little girls at home. And some days I wonder. You say you ought not say that. I ain't wondering about if God's able. I'm just talking about the circumstances and the situations of our life and our day, about how dark it's getting and how much junk there is out there and how easily people in the seed. And the Lord said, it just get worse and worse. And some days I wonder if it's really going to happen or not. And some days I'm down on the bottom, and then I get a text, Brother Ronnie, from you that said, I'm praying for you and praying for your girls that God would save them. And something down on the inside of me, not because of Brother Ronnie, but because of God, reminds me that He still can. And He's still able. And we ought not to give up and give in. Pray again. Talk to Him again. Beg again. God still can.
Amen.
Then some of you wonder about the future. What the future? Not about. If you say that long future, that's all good and well. We don't worry about that, but we worry about the immediate future. As a man of God, and if he worried about it, we'll worry about it too. In 1 Kings chapter 19, old Elijah, he's worrying about the future. Just one chapter earlier, he prayed and called fire down from heaven. And the very next chapter, he's a wondering and a worrying and a wringing his hands because Jezebel said, I'll kill you by tomorrow. And he finds himself under a tree. And he sits down and he says, Lord, and he's doing it in sincerity and honesty. He said, Lord, they killed all my fathers and all the prophets before me, and I'm no better than they. Just take my life. Don't let her get me. You take my life and just take me on. I'm the only one. Nobody else cares. Everybody else is quit. Nobody else is serving. Nobody else cares about you. We just experienced fire on Mount Carmel. All the people were interested. I mean, the Bible said that he gathered all of Israel together, and when the fire fell, he commanded all of Israel to kill the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove. But now all the people are gone and Elijah's alone. It's easy not to worry when everybody's around you. It's easy not to worry when you're in camp meeting, when you're in service, when God's a moving, when the winds are blowing, when you're on the mountaintop and the fires are falling. It's easy not to worry then. But what about when you go back home? What about back in the motel room when the lights go out and nobody else is around? What goes through your mind then? I'm the only one. It's never going to be like it used to be. But then the Lord came by where he was. And he didn't spend 6 hours with Elijah. It don't take God that long. He just touched him. Said, rise and eat. You know what he did? I don't know about for you, but I tell you what he did for me this morning. He touched me.
Amen. That's right, brother.
He said, rise and eat. And then, you know, we get so satisfied. We feel like we've been in one of them services and like we've reached the summit and we're untouchable. But back in the motel room a few minutes ago, he come by again, touched me. He said, you better eat again. The journey's too great for thee. I don't know what the Lord did for anybody else this morning, but he touched me and let me know the future looks pretty bright.
Amen.
There's going to be a whole lot more go another way. There's going to be a whole lot of calls that'll never come. Going to be a whole lot of doors that are never open. But that's all right, Brother Caleb. There's going to be a whole lot of hardships that are going to come, Brother Dale. But that's all right. The future looks pretty bright for us as the people of God. God's still moving. And God's still working. And God's still stirring the people. And he's still shouting the saints. And we can still have as much power with God as we want to have. It ain't all contained right here in this place or in this state.
No.
What went on around here this morning as a young person, I'm 29 years old, and I'm not trying to point any fingers or call anybody out, but what went on around here with them young people and what they did and how God touched them, it made my heart happy to know that the future's still bright, God's still interested in us, and he still can even in these days.
Amen.
And it ain't all just right here. If it was all just right here, I'd sell everything I had tomorrow and move up here. But he's not just right here. Friday rolls around, and all of you are going to leave. I'm going to have to leave after service tonight and drive back to North Carolina. And some of you, you're going to leave at different hours and different times. But you know what? You don't have to leave with your head held down saying, I'm leaving God behind. He can work just like He did this morning where you are. A matter of fact, and I'm not boasting, maybe I am a little bit, but I was with Brother Milby on Sunday and was riding down the road coming back from church, and a man from our church texted me and he said, I hope it went good for you. I said, God moved in a miraculous and a mighty way. I talked to my wife and she said, God moved and blessed like He hadn't in a long time. And she didn't say much more than that. But my pastor called and he said, I want to tell you what happened this morning. He said, God got to move it and your wife got cut loose in the Holy Ghost. And I said, thank you, Lord. God's still God and He's still moving and working in this day.
Amen.
Oh, I'm glad for it. I don't know what tree you're under. And I don't know what questions are in your heart and mind. But if He ever comes where you are, and it amazes me, I never saw it before until today. God put it in my heart. He didn't say, Brother Ken, He just passed by Gideon's tree. But it said He come over there and He sat down. And He said, Gideon, I aim to stay a while. And you just tell me everything that's wrong and I'll give you the answers. And I don't know where you're at, what tree you're under, what your questions are. But He's come by this way tonight. And He's sitting under your tree. And it's time for you to talk to Him. And get the help you need. It's not a shame to ask for help. Never a shame to ask for help. The shame is when help's available and God passes by and you don't get what He's got for you. Is He sitting under your tree, Brother Milby? I'm done.